great to have your company with us Wednesday the 16th of October. Great to have your company with us. Great to have your company on this Wednesday, October the 16th. It is a big day in the footy world. It's the last day of the trade period. There's been a massive build-up, 3 or 4 months in the making, we suspect. Well, today's the last day to get deals done. Kia Sorento run-out deals with 3 years free scheduled servicing plus Australia's best 7-year warranty. Sammy Edmonds staying with us. You'll take your calls, you'll take your text messages, you'll answer as best you can. We'll have Andrew Fagan a little later on this morning. We've got Sam Jacobs to join us and Nick Revolt's here for the next 2 hours. Rui, welcome.
Thank you, last one.
Finally, we've got something for you to talk about.
We do.
The reason
we
that
do.
We actually got you in here, not that we don't love having you in here, but some deals got done yesterday. Which was the one that jumped off the page?
Well, I mean, obviously a vested interest in what was happening down at St Kilda. So I'm a huge Dougal Howard fan. I've watched Port Adelaide play a lot of games over the last 2 years and love the way he goes about it, the way he launches. You know, he's Cooter-like.
Whiskey.
Oh, no.
Come on, Whiskey.
Oh, no. He's got one.
He's falling for it too.
There it is, the trade enhancer. He's gone from just a nice player to Cooter.
Yeah, but the one that probably jumped out that I would like to defer to you, Fieldy, is the swapping of picks between Melbourne and North Melbourne.
Yeah.
I thought this was fascinating, and with a lens towards next year's draft and the reasoning that Josh Marnie came out with in the statement that Melbourne put out was because there are so many academy players next year. Is it so explain that to us. So essentially they're saying next year's draft is going to be pretty compromised because of all the academy players available. So we're going to put our eggs into this year's basket.
Exactly, because what he's saying is next year's pick 7 might turn out to be in the end next
so
year's pick 12.
Deal.
So the deal is North Melbourne, they're banking on Melbourne to bomb next year basically. So they've given the D's their pick 8 in this year's draft. And they've only got back Melbourne's 26 and 50, but then they've also got Melbourne's first-round pick next year. So that's obviously tied to where Melbourne are going to finish. Melbourne think they're going to go well. North Melbourne think they're going to bomb again, and they're going to get a good pick.
Right. So there's what Nick has alluded to, the fact that there's we've always got compromised drafts, but next year perhaps more so because of the proliferation of academy picks and also potential father-sons.
Yep.
But there is other things at play here.
Yeah, so the Demons now have picks 3 and 8, Rui, next month's draft. So it's prompted some pretty wild predictions about what the D's are going to do. We don't think they're going to take both picks to the draft. Tom Papley's names came up. Oh, well, look, Melbourne have slid in before Carlton with pick 8. They need ground ball pressure in their front half. Could they make a play for Tom Papley? I actually understand.
Hold fire there, please.
There's a breaking story. Mitch Cleary has just stated on Trade Radio that Geelong is today considering a trade for Josh Jenkins. So there's a late swoop. This is something new. We haven't discussed this. We haven't heard this before. Geelong. I think we all speculate on the fact that Josh Jenkins was going to end up somewhere.
Of course.
Okay. And that was going to come late. Well, it's Geelong that are making a bid. That's reported from Mitch Cleary on Trade Radio just a few moments ago.
We'll talk about that in greater detail more, but I don't want to lose our train of thought here.
So I think Melbourne will send pick 3 to GWS. That's what I understand will happen. In exchange for the Giants pick 6 and their future first. But Melbourne can really drive a hard bargain here because the Giants need 3, which is effectively the first live pick in the draft because
so
we know.
We assume 1 and 2 are going.
Rail and Anderson.
Rail and Anderson. Yep. So Melbourne got the first live pick. There's a kid by the name of
Tom Green, who's their academy, and not just a kid, he's an academy wonder kid.
Right.
He's
so
right
he's
at the
star.
Pointy end. He's a star.
An inside mid.
An inside mid, a big fella, like Paddy Cripps like to use the draft enhancer.
So the question for Melbourne supporters would be, well, why are Melbourne having a crack at him?
Well, that's another question too, but he's an academy.
Isn't that why the Giants swapped picks with St Kilda anyway?
Yeah. They wanted to, but 6, they got 6.
That's
but
right.
They need to get further up the draft, Nick, because they don't want to use their first pick to match a bid for Tom Green that's going to come early. So if a bid comes at pick 4, then the Giants would have to use pick 6, and they don't have another picks until 40.
So it's huge for the Giants.
It's massive. Under this scenario, they can use pick 3 on whoever they want.
Mm.
And then when the bid comes in for Tom Green, they can use pick 40 to match it.
And what would, sorry, so Melbourne would send 3. What would they get back?
So 6. The deal, yeah, the deal
they
would be
get 6.
And
so
maybe a future first.
In effect, they would get
and
6,
and
a future first,
which is the future,
for next year's first.
Which is the future first they've already just handed over next year to North.
North Melbourne.
So if that
they
happened
get it back.
And Melbourne had a really good year, that would be enormous.
Yeah,
it?
It's big for Melbourne.
It's
on
almost,
top of the North Melbourne.
Featherworthy.
It is. Can we, this news, this late breaking news.
Yep.
Well, you moved on from that.
Well, I think we've done that, okay? I think the interesting thing now is Josh Jenkins at Geelong, Nick. Can you see Josh Jenkins working alongside Tom Hawkins?
Yeah, I can, because they're different players. So Tom Hawkins is your more stand and deliver inside 50. I mean, that being said, we've seen him get up the ground a lot, or a lot more over the last few years than he did historically. But oh, no, I think they can work well together because Josh Jenkins is essentially he's a 6 foot six half forward flanker.
Is Morisava Radigalia is the one that you got to start to think about. Can you play Jenkins, Radigalia, and Hawkins in the same forward line?
Well, you may not be able to, but maybe their thinking now is that Radigalia, because he's got such a great leap, but maybe they're thinking about moving him into the ruck position.
He becomes an 80-20 ruck forward potentially.
The other way around, yeah.
There might be another club too in the Jenkins.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Very preliminary inquiries, just a ripple of interest.
A Melbourne-based club?
Yeah, I don't know. They need players out first is the mail I'm getting. So
Collingwood.
This is always going to happen late.
I think Nick's right.
I
think it would be Collingwood. And I think that we know Collingwood has been trying to make some salary cap space. Obviously, they continued to push Mason Cox towards Essendon. That didn't get done. Aisha's going to go to Fremantle. And I think they desperately need somebody that can play a forward-like position.
Collingwood could do it, though, was if Adelaide paid a huge portion of his salary.
Well, no, he's willing to take a massive cut.
He's willing to
play for $200,000 a year.
You don't hear that very often, do you?
And match payments. No, that's how desperate he is to just keep playing football.
So further to the story that Mitch Cleary's telling us on Trade Radio, the large part of the push for Dangerfield, for Jenkins to get to Geelong is coming from Patrick Dangerfield.
When he's been public.
Old teammates, of course.
Oh, and mates.
Of course, yeah.
And would have a great appreciation. And Patrick, I think, on social media has been really public, saying how this bloke is way, way too good to be in the football ether for as long as
he was really maligned last year. Adelaide's last couple of years, but
smashed,
absolutely smashed. And unfairly so at times, I thought, we get to go around and we watch a lot of games of footy, and I thought his form didn't warrant the sort of criticism that he was on the receiving end of. Particularly, I think he made an adjustment in his game, and that adjustment was the ability to crash some packs, to mark the footy in a contested situation. Now, he didn't do it super consistently, but he showed that he could do it.
But he had to too, because opposition clubs took away what was once his great strength, and that was his ability to get up and get back, more importantly.
Yeah, well, they took away Adelaide's ball movement, really, which suited him.
Is Mitch Cleary on Trade Radio this morning on the Josh Jenkins situation?
It is Geelong weighing up a pursuit and are today considering a trade for Josh Jenkins from the Adelaide Crows. He's got $1 million to sit on 2 years of his contract. He's put his hand up and said, I'm ready to take a pay cut. The Cats are willing to also do a deal with the Crows that sees the Crows pay a portion of that wage. They could be paying as little as $200,000 of Josh Jenkins' wage for the next two seasons. And last night, and large part of this is the push and the drive by his former Crows teammate, Patrick Dangerfield, getting in the ears of the Cats officials, and I think they might be coming around to it.
You've got to give it to Wellesley, don't you? I mean, he hasn't given up on winning the Golden Feather Award.
Well,
you said he'd come late with a charge, and he's doing it again.
Put a line through him.
That's actually a pretty big shift, and it might be driven by Paddy Dangerfield, as Mitch suggests, because the Cats have been not shy in saying they've got no interest in Josh Jenkins, and they wouldn't be going down that path. So something has changed, and Jenkins' name has not been mentioned until yesterday.
Okay, so just 62 goals in 2016.
Just got a text. Jenkins, Cats will happen.
45 goals.
He's got a good track record this bloke.
2017. 46.
See the same mail as yesterday.
Goals in 2018 and 22 last
Move
year.
Move on, Rudy.
I'll repeat that whilst I got interrupted. 62, 45, 46. And then he kicked 22 last year and then interrupted. So he hits a scoreboard.
Kicks goals. Yeah. And this is what people forget. We've got big lists in the AFL. So what are we, 45, say, lists of players?
Mm.
And if he's there for, call it, the 200,000 down from, if he's willing to take that sort of pay cut, you're talking about one spot on the list for a player that is, what were the goal tallies you just read out, 60?
Before I was interrupted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 62, 45, well, you listen for once, 46 and then 22 last.
If you've got someone willing to come to your footy club with that sort of track record on, bargain basement money, well, then it's one spot out of 45, and you've always got half a dozen players on your list at any one point in time that you probably wondering whether they're ever going to make it at all.
So that's a good point.
He's proven.
If this is off the text, the speckle text. If he's willing to pay for less, why aren't Melbourne into him?
Well, we've
asked. Maybe a better fit than Geelong?
I've asked you that question many times, and you didn't really want him. You're not a big fan of Josh Jenkins, and you've got Wiedemann obviously there. You've got McDonald there already. I think you are of the opinion that they can't really fit somebody like a Josh Jenkins into their forward line structure, aren't you?
No, you're putting a lot of words into my mouth.
I'm happy to do that.
I said I'm not sure a half forward flanker is what Melbourne needed.
There you go. Well, you've explained yourself.
Yeah. I think if any team could get him on that sort of money, so not on the big money, well then what's the issue? You're talking about one spot.
I tell you what the issue is though. Sometimes is that when you get them on your list, you play them.
Yeah, but if you can be strong enough,
well, that's
you got to.
Hey, the strongest clubs have fallen into that trap. You got him on the list, and you play him ahead of a kid that okay, maybe I'm going to get 8 to 10 games into this kid. I mean, you wouldn't get taking to Melbourne. All of a sudden, Wiedemann plays 2 or 3 games that aren't where you think, and you go, okay, I'm going to play Jenkins ahead of Wiedemann.
Yeah, but if he goes to Geelong or he goes to Collingwood, even more so, there's no.
Yeah,
well, they're trying to win, aren't they, in the now?
Yeah, of course. Mm.
Can we talk about Jonathan Patton too, Nick? You're the key forward whisperer here. Do you see.
No, you're right, Tim.
Is he a good fit? Is he a good fit for Hawthorn, do you think?
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah.
Well, key forward?
Because we've seen them have to play the ruckman there at times. You know, at times it's been Segler as that deep key forward, you know, because we know they like to bail out long to the top of the square. So, you know, Ruffy's not there anymore. It means they don't have to do that with Segler. McAvoy, they're trying it at half back. Now, I think it's a great move for them, and I think it'll be a great move for John Patton.
Absolutely. So do you still see a spot for Tim O'Brien in that forward line as well then?
Yeah, I do. I think his ability to get up high and move around is... Yeah, he's probably his greatest asset as a key forward. So no, I see them both able to play in the same forward line. Yeah, definitely.
More news coming through. Blake Akers, Tim Gossage sent me this message very, very early that he will and has agreed to a 3-year deal at the Dockers. So all part of the Bradley Hill deal.
Blake Akers.
What did I say?
Yeah, yeah.
Tim Akers.
Yeah,
no, Blake Akers.
Yep.
And Johnny Ralph's reporting that Akers not happy. You've got more detail on that, haven't you, Phil?
Yeah, no, he's come around. He was worded up maybe a week ago that there was a very, very small chance this could happen. So it hasn't been a shock of the Ryan Burton magnitude of 12 months ago. So, but as late as Monday, the Dockers were not interested in Blake Akers, and they'd told the Saints that and Colin Young, Blake Akers' manager, that he won't be involved. And the deal was set in place. That's why we saw Colin at the airport with Tommy Brown on Monday. A deal was already in place. So they have their final meeting yesterday, Tuesday, and Peter Bell says, hang on, we want Blake Akers now. So cue last-minute phone calls, panic organising. Akers was told to get to the airport last night. He landed about 9:30 p.m. Melbourne time.
Uh-huh.
Had his medical about 10 p.m. Melbourne time, and the papers were drawn up last night. So he will today become a Fremantle Docker. So that deal, exactly how Brad Hill goes down today, will be 10, a future second-rounder, Akers, and pick 58, which is what Geelong will get from the Suns for Zach Smith, and then send us St Kilda for Jack Stephen. So the Saints, got pick 10 in that trade that Rue was talking about earlier via Dougal Howard and Paddy Ryder as well.
Well, and again, I ask you, is that a feather in Peter Bell's cap? You're the feather giver.
It's not a golden feather.
No, but is it a feather?
My word, it's a feather.
How many?
It's a one feather.
It's only a one
feather. It's a one feather.
Is it a feather after they originally had pick 6 on the table and turned it away?
I think they've done a better deal, though, because there's not much difference between 6 and 10. Now they've got 10, yes.
Yep. So it was 6.
And they've got Blake Akers. Yep. And they've got a future second round.
And 58.
Yeah. Oh, I think they've done a pretty good
deal. They've added Akers and 58 and dropped back 4 spots from the original offer.
That's it.
So that's a feather, is it?
I think it is, yeah.
And so Blake Akers obviously is a Western Australian boy. He can do some things on the footy field, Blake Akers, where you shake your head in amazement.
Really?
He's that sort of player where he can do the most unbelievable
Not
things.
Not very often.
No. And you know, a couple minutes later he might do something where you shake your head and you go, "Oh gosh, Blake,
what?" But
he's a really talented young kid.
Why didn't Essendon go after Jenkins as off the speckled test?
I've said this before. I thought they should have actually
very
made an
snappy today.
They should have made an inquiry about him. I think this is the thing that the position they're in though is with if the Danaher thing wasn't to go through, then they don't potentially need somebody like
so
a Josh Jenk.
So still uncertain. It's unbelievable.
And these are the games that, not the games, but these are the questions that they keep asking themselves.
Well, I've had, you got to hold fire because we've got to need a break.
Okay.
I've had 45 people ask me this. I'll do it again. Jenkins, 62 goals in 2016, 45 in 2017, 46 in 2018, and 22 last year.
We got you that time.
You right?
Yeah, I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Nick,
I don't know why you backed over that again.
62.
I heard you the first time.
Nick Riebold's here for Orbit Logistics, Freight and Supply Chain Management, orbitlogistics.com.au. You're going to have this for the next hour and 43 minutes because it's the final day of the trade period. And Tim, after the break, you will tell us what will get the Jared Waitley deal done. Hey, welcome back to the program. We're going to speak to Sammy Jacobs. 8 o'clock will come around. Nick Riebold will be with us through until 9. The trade continues to work. Our colleague Nick and Tim Watson's been out on the phone for the whole ad break. He's come back in. He's puffed up.
He's got some mail.
He's got news.
What has he got?
Well, let's move on to that later because we've got to get to our special guest here. It's been a very tough, I would say, is the
tumultuous.
Best way to describe it. Tough and tumultuous period for the Adelaide Crows, certainly since postseason, but pretty much for the 2019 season, I would have thought. They've now got their man, Matthew Nix, who I thought was really impressive yesterday. Just looking at the press conference and the way he handled himself, he will be their coach for the next 3 years, and I think that'll be a great relief for the CEO, Andrew Fagan, who joins us. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Nice to get this done, I would imagine.
Really nice to get it done. It has been a challenging period, and it was a really thorough process over the last month or so since Pikey made his call, and that we've spoken to a lot of people in the industry. We interviewed a lot of people and look, increasingly became super confident that that Nixie was the guy for us, and said it was really good to get it finally announced yesterday.
What was it about Matthew Nix that won him the role?
The biggest thing was, and I mentioned this a couple of times yesterday, was just how well-rounded he was. Through the process we had, there were probably three sessions we had with him, all pretty lengthy presentations he made to us on various topics. Obviously, a bunch of questions. We spent a lot of time with him, and whether it was how he sees the game, his leadership capability, he's clearly very good at establishing and sustaining really good relationships, not just with players, but coaches and those that he works with. He understands the Adelaide market. And look, when we went and spoke with other players and coaches and CEOs, administrators, people that he worked with across the industry, everyone was of the same opinion, and that was that he was a senior coach in waiting, was ready to go, and was a really good fit for our football club.
Well, what, I guess, strength really stood out? So when you look at the modern coach, I mean, we have some guys that are really smart tactically, they see the game really well, others that are more about building the relationships and driving culture and behaviour. Which of those was Matthew's sort of, I guess, ace?
Yeah, good question, Nick. And as I said, he's well-rounded, so I don't think he's got a weakness as such. Obviously, he's a brand-new senior coach, and he's going to have to learn through that journey. But I would say his strength is the latter. Clearly good at establishing relationships with people. And as I said, we spoke to a lot of the players that he's previously coached, even players that he's played with through his Sydney days, and as well as other coaches, including Leon Cameron, currently at GWS. And they said, look, he's great at establishing relationships on and off the field right across the club. And I think it's not that he doesn't challenge either, but I think he understands that you can often challenge to the extent that you've got a relationship with someone. And so I think he'll drive really strong standards, but he'll do so, working hard to form a really deep connection right across the footy department.
Andrew, is the Adelaide Crows, are they going to play a decidedly different brand of football under Matthew Nix?
Yeah, time will tell. I think one of the challenges, and you guys might have your own views, but we chopped and changed a bit this year. In terms of how we were playing from probably round one, then through that probably the 7 or 8 weeks into the bye, where we did get some wins up, but we certainly changed the way we were playing. And then in the back half of the season, we changed the things again. And so I think that is a bit of a clean sheet for him. He's spoken about the need to win the win the ball at a contest, but he does want to attack. He wants to, I think in his words, inflict damage off turnover. But look, he's got a pretty clear philosophy, but he wants to get together with his playing group. He's got to learn their strengths. He wants to speak to his coaches as well. And and fine-tune that over the pre-season. But, you know, he knows with a younger group it's going to start with a contest and out of defence. But, you know, he wants to, you said he wants to still move the ball.
As were you part of the panel, Andrew? I'm assuming you were in the selection of the coach. Is that, that's right.
Yes. The panel was Mark Ricciuto, myself, and James Podziadli, and Phil Smart.
Yeah. So did you come in with a preconception of what you wanted the coach to look like, or did you come in with an open mind and basically just the best candidate, whether they were a tactician or a motivator or a manager and whoever just elevated themselves, or did you know we want this sort of coach?
Look, it's a really good question. We didn't want to be overly predetermined. We wanted the best coach. And I guess if it got down to choosing between two, then we might begin to weight some of those competencies that we're after. But, you know, we wanted someone certainly who was, you know, good tactically and, you know, technically. But importantly, we did want someone who was able to, you know, set a clear vision, command respect, build relationships, you know, the ability to, you know, drive accountability across the group. That's players and coaches. We wanted a strong leader and communicator. So you want it all, and obviously. But as I said to Nick earlier, we certainly did want someone, given the challenges that we've had over the last couple of years, and given the scrutiny and pressure of the it does occur in a footy mad market like this with just a couple of teams. We wanted someone who was able to, you know, really quickly unite the group and get them all aligned to how we want to play. Then go from there. So we were really pleased that with Nixie, he was strong across all of those competencies. And I think I said in the press conference yesterday that, if we had made the choice mid-year, we would have still come up with the same guy as the right person for our football club.
Andrew Fagan's with us, the CEO of the Crows. Andrew, been big change. Pike gone, Burton gone, Camporelli gone. What do you say the question when culture and leadership's been called into question, that you and Mark Ricciuto, who are probably the two most important people, remain at the footy club in your roles? How do you answer that?
Yeah, look, yes, it's good for people to, and fair enough for people to ask that question. And the reason we called the review is because, you know, we've been challenging some issues within the footy department. And I think the review that we conducted was really consistent with our own internal assumptions and findings, and that's that those issues were reasonably localised. But ultimately, Gary, that's for others to judge. And in terms of me or Mark or anyone else, and I'm committed to the future. And I think we've done a lot over the last 5 years. But ultimately, I do recognise that I'm but a small part in the history of this football club, and you know, it's been here for 30 years. It'll be here for another 130 years, and people will judge me both internally and externally at the end of my tenure for what I've done right across the football club.
Did you at any stage question yourself whether you should step down as well after the findings?
No. It's a bit hard for me to talk about, Gary, but ultimately the findings did call out that these issues were reasonably localised, and they did look at leadership. They look at the governance.
It's under your watch, isn't it?
Gary, I get that. Everything's under my watch ultimately, and so we, you know, ultimately responsible for every single part of the football club. But equally, you're responsible for creating the change when things are challenged. And you've been in footy for long enough to understand that. At any point in time, there's always issues that need to be addressed. And I said, we've got, probably every day, I sit there either trying to create opportunity or I'm trying to fix problems. And yeah, from my point of view, I'm absolutely committed to the future, you know, to this club and this city, and energised about the appointment yesterday, about the talented group of players that we've got. And I recognise the last couple of seasons have been challenging for everyone. You know, I feel the pressure like everyone else and like our fans. And I feel that hurt. But as I said, my contribution will be judged, you know, at the end of my reign, but together with everyone else, you know, as a collective, I'm continuing to work to make the club as good as it possibly can be.
Fair enough as well. Has Ross Lyon been mentioned as having any role at all at Adelaide?
No. We did actually catch up with Ross for a chat, as, you know, very early in the process. Just said we spoke to, surprised we didn't catch you guys actually, we spoke to just about everyone just to get their views on just where the game was heading, their views on other people. We did chat to Ross. It was a really interesting conversation, and he seemed like a good guy, but no, we haven't spoken to him further about any involvement in the footy club.
Andrew, will Josh Jenkins be still an Adelaide Crow at the end of today's trade period?
Oh, yeah, look, good question. It's going to be a busy day for us, like it is for every other club. And but Josh is, you know, looking to, you know, explore options elsewhere. You know, we're supportive of that. He's managed by Paul Connors. You know, Paul tends to get things done, and you know, I'd expect that a deal be done by the end of today.
What about Billy Frampton coming across to the Adelaide Crows Football Club? What sort of heat can he expect as only the sixth player to move within Adelaide from club to club? You see, you have to wrap your arms around him a little bit and hire him a protective, you know, detail.
Yeah, maybe, but from what I know about Billy, he brings a fair bit of aggression. So I'd probably say good luck to anyone who wants to have too much of a crack at him. But look, we obviously welcome him across. It's a unique marketplace, as you guys know here. You cop heat regardless, and you probably cop a bit more when you go from one club to the other. I have heard, and I haven't spoken to Billy yet, so I'm hoping to catch him today. But I have heard that he was an Adelaide supporter growing up over in Western Australia. So I'm not sure if that's just been invented since the trade, but I understand that's the truth. So hopefully he can tell people that he's got to the club that he always wanted to play for.
Hey, Andrew, appreciate you jumping on. Well done on the appointment of Matty Nix. Onwards and upwards, Adelaide Crows.
Good on you guys. Thank you.
Good on you, Andrew Fagan, the CEO of the Adelaide Crows, joining us.
We need to get back to something that happened and occurred during that interview that has never, ever happened in an interview that you and I have been conducting on this radio program before.
We'll do it after the break.
I'm hearing that Sam Jacobs has agreed to a two-year deal at GWS Giants.
You might think big deal. What, did we say that yesterday? No, he did not. He said that on the 17th of September. And he asked that we get that out so he can get some votes.
No, I didn't.
To bring it out so that when we get Source on, you can say that you were the one that broke the news. Sammy Jacobs joins us. Source, welcome and congratulations.
Good morning, boys. Thanks for having me on. And all was in Bali this time that you dropped that, Tim, and you weren't too far off the mark.
Oh, yes. Hey, look at that. You should see him, Source. He's puffed up now. He thinks he's pretty important.
He is puffed up. Have you signed a two-year deal? Did I get that part right, or have you done a three-year deal?
No, you're right. It's a two-year deal. and hopefully I can keep going a bit longer.
He's got a big pipe in his mouth. He's puffing on at the moment. Hey, it is great because you went from Carlton to Adelaide and you established yourself as the premier ruckman there, and we loved your work there for a long period of time. And then, as happens in footy, the young challenger comes along and Riley O'Brien appeared to just grab that spot. I know you got it back towards the end of the year, but you go to a club that's in the premiership window and they are screaming out for some ruck support. So it's a great fit.
Yeah, it is. It is a really good fit. And obviously, like you said, last year, I went out with the injury. I didn't get dropped, and then Riley came in and played some really strong footy. So it was great to be able to come back into the AFL side at the end of the year and, I guess, prove to myself and I guess the industry as well that I've still got some good AFL footy left in me. And then, Giants is just a really good fit for me, as you said. They're right around the mark at the moment, and Mummy needs a bit of support in there as well. So it's a really good natural fit, and I'm pretty excited to get up there and play with some of those midfield guns.
Was that really important for you, Sam? Well done, by the way. Was that really important to go to a team that was in the window and was going to be contending over the next couple of years?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I am obviously still chasing that flag that I had a chance to get yet. So, I had medical with Carlton, which got spoken about. And Tommy, my manager, had a bit of interest elsewhere. But, the opportunity to go up there and play with a club who's going to be, right up there is high up there.
And, Sam, this has just come through from Jonathan out there. Ask Source about the new ruck duo at GWS, Sausage Mumford and Source Jacobs. Was that in your thinking when you chose the Giants?
Not quite, Tim, but I think it's a nice side fit for me and Mummy working together for sure.
He's a big physical ruckman. You've had a couple of injury concerns. How is your body right now? Are you cherry ripe again physically?
Yeah, no, my body's really good. I missed the 8 weeks last year with a bit of a meniscus tear, but I got that removed. And when I got injured, it was sort of almost a bit of relief in a way. Mentally, I was probably not going that well, as you know, I hadn't missed a game for the best part of 10 years. So it was actually sort of good to have a bit of a break just to get away and actually miss the game again. As halfway through the time I was out injured, you know, I really got the buzz back. I got the excitement, the love back, and I was able to finish the year really strongly. So right now, where I sit now, it could be a bit of a turning point in terms of extending my career. So body's really good, and mentally I'm really in a good place too.
Can you give us some insight? Obviously, you know, everyone's been talking about the camp over the last couple of years, and it reached fever pitch, the discussion around it this year too. Can you just give us some sort of an insight as to how unhappy the playing group may have been at Adelaide this season?
Yeah, I'm not going to delve into it too much, but you know, I guess you know the last 2 years has been disappointing, and we haven't got the on-field results that we wanted. But you know, at the same time, I think it's really overstated, I guess, the situation. You know, we still won 12 games in 2018 and just missed finals. I think it was on percentage. And then last year, we still won 10 games. So it's by no means a disastrous drop-off. But, you know, whether it was, you know, maybe we got the most out of the group previously in 17 or whatnot, we were still a tight playing group, and, you know, along with the coaches as well. But, you know, that obviously contributed to it. And then there was a few other things as well. So, you know, change is always inevitable at the club, and I guess that was our time at, last year.
Were you surprised that Tex Walker stood down as captain, Sam?
probably not so much, just because Tex has copped a lot of the heat over the last 2 years. You know, and he's I think he could really enjoy a fresh change, just to go out and just enjoy his footy and you know, just be Tex again, and I guess release the shackles a bit. So, and where he's at in his career is probably good timing as well as he's about to have another little baby. So, I think it'd be a good move for him, and hopefully it means he can go back and play some really good footy as well.
One of our listeners said they saw you flying around the Albert Park Lake recently in pretty good nick. When do you have to report for training? Given that the Giants have gone through to grand final day, they obviously report later, but what's that mean for you?
Yeah, no, I'll start with the young boys' girls. As I've been off, I think our last game was August 25th in Ballarat, which seems like a long time ago now. So I'm chomping at the bit to get up there and, I guess, meet the guys and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I think it's good for me to go up there and take the opportunity to spend time, I guess, with the younger players and the coaches, building relationships before all the main guys come back from their break. So I'm, as mentioned, and your listener is spot on. I was in Albert Lake for a wedding on Friday, so squeezed a run in as well. But I'm looking forward to getting up there and trying a different city as well. It's going to be a big change coming from Adelaide.
Good on you, Sammy. You've been in Melbourne with the Blues, of course. Adelaide Crows are now up there with the Giants. We'll watch with great interest how it unfolds. Good luck with it all.
Yeah, appreciate it, boys. Thanks very much for having me.